So one of the questions that I have for you is, how many people got a present for Christmas last year? Did you get a present for Christmas last year? What did the wrapping paper look like on it? Do you remember that? Yeah? What was your wrapping paper? Newspaper. Is that your gift or is that your pet's cage? Oh. Yeah. It's recycled wrapping paper. How many people have a favorite gift? As you think back of all the Christmas gifts that you've received in your life, better watch that. How many people can think back and remember a favorite gift? Do you have a favorite gift that you received? You think back all those years? Yeah? Okay, what was your favorite gift that you've received? Everybody ready? One, two, three. Okay, Barbie Dreamhouse stood out right there. Yeah, can anybody beat a Barbie Dreamhouse? No, not really. And so what was it wrapped in? Your poor brother. Like, he's going all week like, oh yeah, I got the biggest gift in the house. Yeah, I never thought about it that way now, did you? Yeah. You may have some apologies to deal with. So most of the time, do we remember, at least maybe it's me, maybe we don't necessarily remember what our gifts are wrapped in, right? Because sometimes in your home, I don't know whether your home is like our home, we have a small living room, so once the gifts are opened and wrapping paper is everywhere, it very quickly goes into a bag because otherwise we can't get around. We don't really... And then that bag's thrown in the trash. We don't really care about the wrapping paper at all, right? Because what we care about is what is inside of the wrapping paper. Anybody care more about the wrapping paper than what's inside? No, you care about what's inside. That seems to have more of an impact on you. And by the way, does anybody still have any gifts unwrapped from last Christmas? Yeah, that's ridiculous, right? Why would you ever do that? Because wrapping is a sign that there's something for us to discover, and then we want to discover it, and so we open it. It's not necessarily easily discerned, and so we have to unwrap something. You know, when we read about the birth of Jesus, as Amanda read to us earlier, we read that Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Jesus, the second member of the eternal Trinity, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, he has always existed, and though he has always existed, he was born to us as a child. And on his birth, like many caring moms, Mary wraps the child entrusted to her, but in accordance with the times of the day, in swaddling cloths, and lay him down in a feeding trough. And though he is protected by the secure and warm confines of the linen, he's still there in a feeding trough. Jesus, who knew limitless freedom through all of time, is constrained to the limitations of humanity symbolized by the blanket that now held him close. He was wrapped up, right? And as we follow the story through, the shepherds are told to look for a sign. Do you know what that sign was? To look for a sign of a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The King of all kings would be wrapped in these strips of cloth and be found lying in that feeding trough of a barnyard animal. The shepherds, looking for that sign of those wrappings, confirm his location, and it is meager, and his wrappings, unassuming. Yet within the wrapping lies the greatest gift ever given, even better than the Barbie dream house wrapped in brown paper with your brother's name on it. Speaking of shepherds, what do shepherds do for a living? It's not a trick question. Yeah. They take care of sheep. Everybody okay with that? Shepherds take care of sheep? Yeah, not a trick question. I do have a couple of questions for you regarding some sheep, by the way. So here's a question. What do you get when you cross a sheep with a kangaroo? A woolly jumper. Does anybody like onesies? Yeah. All right, there you go. I can't do these. What is the sheep's favorite painting? The Mona Lisa. Yeah. I got a long list. Why don't we keep going? Yeah. Oh, keep going? Is that what you said? All right. Why was the sheep arrested on the freeway? Doing an illegal U-turn. He was bad, right? That's a goat. Yeah. Where do sheep get their hair cut? The Baba shop. When are sheep like ink? When they're in a pen. Annalise is writing these down. What is a sheep's favorite newspaper? The Wall Street Journal. Did you know that sheep take karate when they're young? What's their favorite move? The lamb chop. There you go. Heather, I'm going to give you this sheet after. There's probably just a couple that you don't know. Yeah, yeah. The rest of the time, you'll just post the rest of them, right? Yeah, you know, here's something that's always troubled me, and it comes out of a reality that I've dealt with. One time, my son bought a sweater, and he really liked it, and I never touched the laundry in our house. But I thought one day, you know what? I'm gonna help my family out. I'm just gonna move the clothes from the washer to the dryer. And I moved his clothes from the washer to the dryer, and his brand new sweater came out like itsy bitsy. Like, seriously, I didn't even know that was a real thing that could happen. And he pulls it out and he shows it, and I'm like, I'll be right back. And I just drove to the mall, I found another one, and I brought it back. I was like so embarrassed. So my question then is, if sheep get caught in the rain, do they shrink? Okay, that's all. I promise. Yes, you nod in affirmation. Well, one more. So here's what I want you to know. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Right? Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And I want you to, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you want to join me in John chapter 10. I want to read these words for you from John chapter 10 as we talk about this, the seven gifts that Jesus will give, that gives to us. We read that very truly, he says, Jesus is Jesus speaking right at the start of the chapter. Very truly, I tell you Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus gives us seven gifts. The first gift that he gives us is love. As you think about what the words that Jesus shares, it's important to know that he cares deeply about our lives. It's a beautiful picture that Jesus gives us that speaks of his personal care and knowledge of the shepherd towards his sheep. The purposefulness with which he comes and his desire to set direction and pace for our lives is so important because he understands what is possible for us. And so as we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, one of the aspects that I am appreciating more is the effort that Jesus makes to enter into my space and to allow me to get to attuned to his voice. And, you know, and as I get attuned to his voice, his tone, and watch how he uses his voice, I'm strengthened and I learn to trust him where he leads me, even if I can't see the way. It instills more confidence in Jesus who leads us. And to understand that love of Jesus, it's a love that saw us created by his hands. It's a love that saw him give us life by his breath. It's a love that desires a deep personal relationship with us. It's a love that desires an eternal partnership with us. It's a love that understands our hurts. It's a love that withstands our failures. A love that offers complete forgiveness in the midst of those things. And a love that stands willing to always receive us. The love of Jesus alone would make him the greatest gift. But there's more. Another gift that he gives to us is the gift of family. I'm part of a family. And by faith in Jesus Christ, and you notice how many times in these short number of verses he says them and they. God uses the gift of one another to help us as we follow him together. And that's not easy because too often we listen as individuals and we might make decisions in isolation and then we fail to consider others better than ourselves. But God does not desire the legalism of uniformity. Rather, he asks us to embrace a spirit-led tension of unity. And then we rely upon and appreciate the differences that each of us bring to that family as we're shaped by a common desire to be transformed by the character of Jesus in our lives. The third gift that Jesus brings to us is guidance. He guides our life. Following Jesus is an invitation to relationship with God where we are completely known personally by name and by need. A relationship where his voice is the one that we hear above all the other competing voices around us. The Lord is my shepherd, says Psalm 23, and he leads us. May we be those who follow. A fourth gift that Jesus gives to us is the gift of healing. He restores us. We read in these verses that Jesus says, I am the gate. One of the roles of the shepherd was to call the sheep back into the pen or the fold. And as the sheep made their way through the gate, the shepherd would inspect each one and he would care for any wounds that were visible and it would tend to any need that a particular sheep had. Jesus desires to bring healing for us. He offers us protection. Jesus is also our protector. And at night, you know, the role of a shepherd was to lie across the gate to guard against, to keep the sheep away from danger and to keep any danger away from the sheep. When we have a relationship with Jesus, he gives us his spirit who protects us and comforts us. And part of that protection is providing warning, unrest, or discomfort in our spirit. This may be due to something of some kind of particular experience, or maybe the result of a conviction within us, or a temptation to avoid, or a sinful desire to confess before it takes too much of a hold in our lives. In this way, Jesus also gives us a gift of protection. The gift of contentment, the sixth gift. He teaches us to find pasture. Simple contentment is nurtured through a regular adherence of rest in our lives. Daily rest, weekly rest enables us to have strength for what comes next. That's the picture of contentment. And the seventh gift is the gift of assurance. That he will give me confidence in assurance. We read that we see he comes in and he goes out and we are full of life. Jesus welcomes us to come into his sheep pen, to learn from him, to grow in our trust of him. And as we do, we gain confidence to go out according to his leading in our lives. And we develop this rhythm of going out and then coming back to him, going out to the places he leads. And as we do so, we grow in the fullness of life and that we experience in the present. And then we grow in the confidence of the promises of the eternal life that is yet to come. Seven gifts that Jesus gives. That's amazing, right? Imagine unwrapping that. Some of us, we maybe stop at a layer or two. Love, family, guidance, healing, protection, contentment, assurance. Now, how many of us, when receiving a card, check the back to see how much that card cost that person? Is that just me? Okay, it's just me. I'm sorry. How many of you open a card and just see if anything's going to fall out? I know that's not just me. Or maybe you're like younger me, little me, who compared what I had to what somebody else might have. Or how many they had, or how big was the gift with their name on it as opposed to the one with mine. It was as though we're trying to measure the way that someone feels about us by comparing what they give to somebody else. So I want you to listen to this as we go to the next part of this chapter. Jesus, the gifts that Jesus gives, it cost him everything. Now, you may notice on my wife's hand this giant rock that she wears. She could hardly hold her left hand up. It's so big. And she asked me, every year she asked me if we're going to get new rings. I'm like, why? Why would we get new rings? It's, well, because, you know, the rings now are different. And, you know, all the people, when they get engaged now, the rings are so big. And I said, yeah, but nobody can give you a ring that costs them everything. Her ring cost me everything in 3 installments. Yeah. I had nothing. So on a percentage basis, nobody's going to beat me on that. In a so much greater way, Jesus gives us a gift that costs him everything. Nothing compares to the cost of the gift that Jesus gives us. 5 times in John chapter 10, we read these words, he lays his life down for us. What is the cost of Jesus, of this gift that Jesus gives? It cost him everything. Let's hear what he has, how he says it. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Today we celebrate Jesus, the greatest gift, who came wrapped in cloths, in little strips of cloths. We also come in recognition that Jesus lived, but he died. He was crucified, taking the punishment for our sin. And when Jesus had died upon the cross of Calvary, we also read that his body was taken down and it was prepared for burial, the way the kings of old were prepared. His body, we read, was wrapped in strips of cloth at his death, sealed with a mixture of perfumes, which include myrrh and other spices. And then he was placed in a borrowed tomb. Jesus, he's our Savior, he's our healer, he's our Redeemer, and he becomes the perfect sacrifice, willing to take the punishment of our sin. It cost him everything. But on the morning of the third day, something else happens. When the stone was rolled away, Jesus was not there anymore. He was risen. And this, the evidence of his resurrection and our redemption, was that the strips of cloth, the strips of linen, the wrapping was left there. The gift was open for us to find. His body has risen. He has been glorified. And the confines of humanity were no longer applied to him. The greatest gift is Jesus, who is God with us, Savior of the world, healer, redeemer, conqueror, and now promised returning king. You see, it was never about the wrapping. It's always been about the gift. Jesus is the king, the greatest gift that was promised, even if the wrapping he came in didn't quite resemble what we thought we would find inside. It was never about the wrapping. It's always been about what was held inside the wrapping. Jesus, as the perfect gift, given at just the right time, meets our every need at every stage of our lives, for every circumstance of our lives. We don't normally leave gifts unwrapped, right? We don't normally leave gifts unopened. The wrappings are a sign that there is something for us to discover within that's not easily seen or easily observed or discerned. If you've never opened or discovered the gift of salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ, then let me invite you to do so today. In losing his life, we find ours. And then in submitting our lives, we find his resurrected life given. And that makes Jesus the greatest gift of all. Let's pray together. Father, will you help us, even in this Christmas day? We're so thankful for some of the activity, the opportunity to connect either by phone or by video or even in person with friends and family, some who are near and those who might be in different places. What a gift those things are. But amid all of that, God, would you help us to recognize with greater appreciation the gift of Jesus for us. Thank you for his great love for us. Thank you that when we place our faith in him, we get to participate as a family together, helping and encouraging one another. God, would you continue to teach us to treasure this gift that costs everything, that we might also be used of you to help others to learn the same. And so we give you our attention here on this day, and for these days going forward, may your truth not be moved quickly from our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.